Right, you wanna call the order?
We're ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right, judging from the full room, I'd say we have a quorum, so we're gonna call the meeting to order. Everybody's had a chance to look over the agenda, can have a motion for approval of the agenda, please.
So moved.
So moved.
So moved, yeah.
Second?
Second.
Sorry.
All right, and a second, all in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, motion's approved. Approval of the minutes, everybody's had a chance to review the minutes of the last meeting. And if nobody has any objections or comments, can I get a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
All right, you have a motion?
Second.
And a second, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, moving on, wildlife management update, Mark.
All right, so kind of a full agenda here, try to zip through things. I had the notion of shaking things up tonight and having a little fun and get us out of the same old boring routine, but I had the half keg order to arrive at 6 o'clock. Todd Lawson caught wind of it and canceled it. So, sorry, no fun tonight, same old stuff. Sorry about that.
Well, I don't know.
I tried.
That's right, we primed the pump before coming down.
I remember how to do that. It's been a while, Larry, but.
Well, we have two refrigerators.
All right, we'll do it next time.
The adult refrigerator and the kitty refrigerator.
There we go. So, not too much new on the wildlife management update, aside from our airport manager's continued use of his deep cache of bangers and screamers, I think that's what they're called, scaring off unwanted geese and other birds. We did have a few deer, I want to say a couple months ago, duly escorted off airport grounds in the proper fashion, so we continue to monitor that. I do want to say that we are in the process of taking a more proactive approach to the reliability of our perimeter security fence. So we are doing a full walk around to document any disrepair or openings. So rather than be reactive, we want to come up with everything that needs to be done at one time. We have a fence contractor coming on board for another initiative. And while that's being done, we're going to get them to look at these openings, wherever they are. They might be holes, they may be the cattle extensions that are too short, crossing ditches, whatever they are. So we're going to try to get the holes plugged all at once, if there are holes. So stay tuned for that. So a little more proactive instead of reactive approach on that. Airport update, we have four or five items. So everybody knows about our main initiative, Parallel Taxiway B. You can see it out there. Myers is probably still hogging stuff out as of right now, but the project officially started on April 15th. We have, Alan Myers is the contractor, we have a 202-day calendar duration. That brings us to somewhere in late November, 24th, 25th. We do have Wings for Wheels plugged in. I think it's the first Saturday of October. So we have the contractor shut down for that Friday and Saturday per their schedule, so nothing will be done. So we do have them plugged in for that. On your handout, I think everybody's seen the first graphic before. This is a snapshot of the extent of the taxiway construction. The letters designate the different work areas that are outlined on the contract plans, and some or most of these will involve issuances of NOTAMs and or partial or in some cases complete shutdown of either a runway or taxiway. Right now we are in section A1. I think everybody's gotten the NOTAM on that. It was issued on Monday or Sunday. So that portion of taxiway A is shut down until Saturday at 6 p.m. So we are trying to get everything. There's a pipe crossing going on. It's actively being installed today. So of course, according to Myers, as of earlier today, that they're on schedule to get that back open. So that'll be hopefully open back up over the weekend. If there's any, Saturday's calling for weather, so we'll see what happens. But that was the first impact area. The other areas are just sections where we're doing paving tie-in or signage that, again, requires a NOTAM and or partial taxiway closure. So stay tuned for more. We'll typically issue that at least a week in advance once we know these sections are going to be hardened in the schedule. Second graphic, I guess I already talked about this. This is where taxiway A is closed as we speak. I think that's accurate in red, 23rd, and supposed to finish on the 28th. That's the update. Contractors working Saturdays when we approve it to stay on schedule, such as this Saturday. And they will continue to work, you know, at least 5, if not 6 days a week to get the project done. So far, so good on schedule for that.
How long is that taxiway plan to be closed?
Till Saturday.
Just a Saturday.
Till Saturday. That's what it is right now, Rick. If we run into, there's a question on striping, whether that can be done on Friday, because that can't be done in the rain if it rains on Saturday.
Right.
So we're kind of playing that by ear.
Okay.
Second item, a restriping project for both of our runways, as well as taxiway Delta, which parallels 1028. The project includes restriping of the entirety of both runways. You may recall we did a restriping project 2 years ago, but that was just parts of the taxiways. So this will be both runways and taxiway Delta. We bid the project in February. We had a total of 4 bids. On March 18th, we made award to the low bidder, Zone Striping. We're waiting on final documentation from Zone before we can issue official notice to proceed. So they haven't been given the go-ahead yet. We anticipate that work may start by the end of next week at the earliest. It's probably going to be the week after. 75-day calendar project, plenty of time. I expect it not to take more than 45 days, but for some reason it's 75 days. So the big thing with that is we're going to have 2 contractors doing active construction within our operations area. So both contractors know there's a sandbox and everybody needs to play nice in it. The work shouldn't overlap, so the work areas, it's just really the access getting in and out of our security gates.
So the runways will be closed, right?
Yes.
And do we know the time frames?
We don't have their schedule yet.
Okay.
So that's one of the first things that we've asked for Zone is to start working on the schedule so we can see when you're going to be on each runway. But yeah, we'll have to shut that down for the striping. It is needed, as you know, Rick. So third item, some may know about this, some may not. We had we entered into a customer agreement with Chesapeake Utilities a couple years back for them to extend natural gas line from the business park, which they already have a network in our business park, to our air park area of our airport. Eventually, they want to jump up across Airport Road and serve the school and further north. But the initiative with the county through the customer agreement is just to get the extension into the airport area. So that's been approved. It's been funded. It's been paid for. We've had some delays with their engineer getting the plans right. Probably the easiest way to say it. We've had a number of technical reviews on the plans, means and methods, location of the lines. Like, hey, we don't want to be shutting the runway down. You can't do this. You can't open cut here, that kind of thing. So within the last 30 days, I think we've got to the plans to the shape that they need to be in, Chesapeake's engineer. So we're waiting for them to confirm their contractor's availability. And most of the work, so that's handout 3, by the way. So what I try to do on handout 3 is doodle up. This is actually the cover sheet to their package, but the yellow is meant to show you the general route of the new four-inch high-density polyethylene gas line. So it starts in the business park, Cedar Creek, will extend up and will cross the end of 22, runway 22, run along our taxiway A, and then make a dogleg and run along rudder lane, and then into our hangar section and run on the outside of the existing taxi lane. The majority of this will be done via trenchless technology, directional drill, or molding, depending on which. So that's one thing we wanted to make sure that they weren't open excavating in, you know, some of our runway safety areas or object free areas, that kind of thing. So we're gonna, just like we are with taxiway, we're gonna have close eyes on this work, but this will be a third contractor inside this area. We don't know the schedule yet, but we're hoping the striping can get done, get that contractor out, and then Chesapeake's contractor, I'm guessing right now, probably late summer, mid to late summer, you could see these guys in here, but we'll keep an eye on them. Restoration is supposed to be taken care of. Again, they've told us no open pavement, so when they have to cross hangar access lanes or asphalt areas, they're going to be drilling. What's not shown are the lateral and the meter services to the individual. There's 12 facilities that are being serviced under this initial phase. So those lines aren't shown, but there's an intermediate laterals to connect some different hangars, and I want to say like five or six county facilities along the route.
What do the red dots represent on that yellow line? Do you know?
Red dots. Oh boy, Rick. You know, I'm colorblind.
I'm guessing that they're boring.
Size, I only see yellow. The red dots?
Yeah, they're all along there.
They're at regular intervals, so it's probably just the line type that they're using.
Oh, so the... Exactly. So the red was their line on the plan. I put the yellow on over top so you can see it.
Oh, okay. All right.
I would have never picked that up. So the gaps are the red that's underneath of it.
I know you are, but I'm sure you'll let us know before the work includes our hangars too.
Absolutely.
So that we can accommodate them best we can. And then I assume since they're running a line down there, we'll be the option of being able to hook up to it. I buy a lot of propane over the winter.
So Larry, we coordinated an outreach with a lot of our tenants. There was a list created, I want to say like 3 years ago.
That's back when I was still working for the county.
And it was established that 12 entities or buildings would be connected in this first phase. Yours is not one of them, but it could be connected in the future. So I know you're on...
I would welcome connecting.
Bob Willie or...
We're using Bob Willie for propane right now. We got these big 100-gallon propane tanks out back.
Okay.
And they are great. I mean, it's a great company. I love dealing with them. But, hooking right directly to natural gas would be a good option.
So
we work all winter long.
Truth be told, we did outreach to some tenants about the connection, and some didn't have any interest right now because based on the equipment they have, there would be a conversion. An equipment facility conversion needed inside the unit, which would be on the tenant to do. And so, depending on your HVAC setup.
When all this happens, I'd love to talk to them about it.
Okay. We have estimates.
We've been
that.
Looking at a couple of other options for heat over the winter, and I wasn't aware of this. So, with this now, this gives us a whole different option for. We were going to be putting in the same thing that you've got over there, anyway. Because most of my oil goes over to you to run your heater.
Jeff, I think you're on the list.
You weren't shown on the list because it's got a little red line comes over.
Yeah, it's a
I was
county,
just kind of curious sitting there looking at this yellow line. It looks like they're coming down in front of like Larry's hangar.
It will be.
Yeah,
so,
right in front of, right under my ramp.
And I was going to say, one, you got the concrete pavement.
No, no. So that's what I'm saying. It's outside the taxi lane, but it'll run under.
Yeah,
the directional
drill.
But that's where all the other utilities are too.
That was one of the problems is they weren't showing our utilities even though we gave them our GIS and the correct location. So that took
like
two iterations to fix.
Simpler if they went on the backside.
No, they're actually in the clear where they are. So we did check that. So there'll be a mole across to to Sussex Aero, and then Larry, like, you'll have the option in the future to connect, so we can start that dialogue now with Chesapeake.
I'd love to talk to him.
Okay, all right.
Mark?
And as long as we know when they're going to be drilling through there, we'll do whatever we can to accommodate any of the contractors.
Appreciate that.
So
the cultural benefits are kind of obvious to have natural gas, and I know some people have LP gas, but what will happen if some of the people who own the hangars or others decide not to do it? Will it be still cost effective for the county to do this?
The county
is... you have commitments of people signed and...
Yeah, the county has committed and has financed to do the project. The more people that connect, the better the resultant financial picture. So there's no mandate, but we've done everything we can to get costs, and we had one of our HVAC guys go out and do some surveys on what some of the equipment was, Thomas, and come up with like conversion costs. So we have that data. But again, some want to do it, a lot want to do it, and some don't want to do it. So for the county facilities, we definitely want to do it.
It will still be cost effective for the county, and it will be good money spent from a business perspective that we do this.
It's a sound
long... Even though we don't know how many people will hook onto it.
Yeah, it's the way we look at it, it's a sound long-term investment for the county and for the tenants of the airport, okay. Yes.
Usually natural gas is a lot cheaper than propane.
Okay. Yeah, but the initial cost of getting onto it is up to the owner of the hangar.
Depending on what it is, it's most of the time it's not much if you're just changing out the orifice in your burners and stuff.
It just depends on what you're
doing.
I was planning within the next 12 months to convert the whole heating system. Now knowing this, I'll stop and look at different options.
Okay. Most heaters come with natural gas nozzles, and it's usually just the nozzles that are replaced.
I just raised the question as from a business perspective in terms of all the people going on to it.
Right. Ray, I appreciate the question. We evaluated that from a budgetary and a fiscal management standpoint 2 years ago, and we made the decision it was the sound way to go.
Yep. Thank you.
And we're sticking with it.
Thank you.
And when they cross the approach into runway 22, are they going to be in the safety zone with equipment?
Okay, so they wanted to be initially.
Yeah.
No. So the drill pits will be outside of the object free area.
So no runway closures anymore.
No. Okay. No. Unless that drill goes wrong and they come up out of the ground.
Well, you know,
unless we get some model or something.
Really,
but that's
for me, anyway. Runway 1028, you know, is not an option except unless we got a real strong wind.
That's why I asked that.
422 is the only runway we can use. I have landed to B-25 on runway 28, but we had a 30 knot wind that day right down the runway, so I was able to get stopped.
You did land that on?
We landed on 1028.
Okay.
Huh. Good enough.
I'd like to see that.
You get enough headwind, you can do it.
Anyway, Larry, this is why that's on the agenda. I don't think it's been officially, you know, put out
there.
Well,
I'm glad it is on there because
it's an initiative that everybody needs to know about.
And now knowing that, we'll rethink what our options are going to be for our next phase of heat.
And the other reason it's on there is the same reason as the last two agenda items. We're going to have another contractor or vendor, you know, doing their thing. So they know, you know, access has to be maintained, safety, they have all the safety precautions and all that stuff. So
another thing, if when this goes in, you got several people on the airport that's all going to want to put in natural gas heat, we could probably get a deal by all going together.
But sounds good to me.
With a contractor. I know when I built those two hangars, the hangar you have now and my hangar, we got substantial savings by building two hangars identical to each other.
So more updates to come. It'll probably be via email. This is the big picture initiative. When we get a hard line schedule from Chesapeake's vendor, we'll Patty, Bob, or whoever, maybe me, we'll send an email update out so everybody is aware of it. Any other questions on the gas line install?
There on the, just for the runway construction, are there, I noticed you guys have mentioned sweeping and stuff like that, but are they using the, I don't know what equipment they're using, are they using the vacuum sweepers? Because we keep getting complaints about more and more rocks. So.
Dustin, I don't know that answer, but I'll find out.
I know that's what, there's a couple companies around it. Like when I was building the big hangar, I had someone with a vacuum truck coming through weekly.
We had somebody over 2 weeks ago.
Was it a vacuum on your site?
Yeah.
On that same point, when they were pushing the snow, there's still a lot of fog back there on that ramp that really needs to be cleaned off. Needs to be blown off or slipped off or something. Between, you know, that whole ramp between going all the way down to your hangar and the end, that whole ramp between the T hangars, there's a lot of fog there from where the snow was pushed and piled up.
I heard about that, and there was a decree to get that taken care of, and you're saying it hasn't been cleaned up?
It wasn't as of when we were, somehow bringing it later, when we were doing the filming last week, we noticed some things. We were sweeping where we were going to be running up props, so we didn't pick up anything.
Okay.
Maybe it's been done since then.
All right, I'll look into that as well. But I know that was tabled a few times, and Larry, you were one of them. And
I know it's been brought to Dale's attention.
Yeah,
so
where's Dale? Oh, he's not here tonight. Mm-hmm.
Throw him under the bus. We swept some of it off ourselves just to make sure we didn't pick up.
Yeah, I understand.
And the props.
Got you down. Okay, last item is, again, something you guys probably don't know about, but I just sort of aerospace obstacle mitigation. Wanted to throw that on there just as an FYI. It's an offshoot of our recently completed master plan. We have an initiative in the works to address some of the known obstacles, primarily off the end of runway 4, and these would be in the form of trees, pesky trees that we know are violators of our airspace, and there's a lot more, but what we're doing right now is trying to take care of what we can within county owned and controlled land. So we have an RFP that's about to hit the street to take care of as much as we can in areas that we can, across Old Park Avenue and across the tracks as far as we can, on county controlled property. So once that's done, I'm guessing that work will be, it's probably a 30 to 45 day endeavor. So it should be done by midsummer or July 1st, hopefully. So once we get that done, we intend to refly the area, update our mapping, our 3D mapping, and update our obstacle action plan, or OAP, and then resubmit that to the FAA. We know we're gonna have other violators, and we have, you know, stuff, you know, other areas. I think we have light poles and stolen sports on the beach parking lot, things like that. But these are ones that have been there for a while. They've grown up, they keep growing up. So this is an effort that the county is taking on, 100% county. And so we hope to take care of a good portion of it. And then beyond that, we would need to take the next step, and it may be funded differently to hit areas that are off county property. But this one's focused on, I want to say the low-hanging fruit, but what we can do within the limits that we can do, and it should be a pretty quick hitter. Don't expect it to impact necessarily any aircraft operations. It's not going to impact anything within our fenced operation area, just something that we're doing. I just wanted to put that on there so everybody was aware of it. So that's it for my four items. Any questions before we hand it over to Mr. Verasco? All right, Ron, you're up.
Okay. Hello, all. I'm Ron Verasco. I'm the manager of safety and security. Last meeting, we talked about the airport security gate project. I want to provide everybody an update today. So since we last spoke, gate 7, the first gate, we were in a beta test. All controls have been installed. We've tested it. The mobile credentials do work. Those individuals who have mobile credentials and been asked to beta test, please go give it a try. We tried it with the FBO today, earlier this week. The A phones are working. The FBO can operate that gate with the A phone. Same thing for Patty's office. So it's all coming together very nicely. We've pre-planned with the fire department, for Georgetown Fire Department. They're happy with our emergency process. We're issuing them cards for the gates, and we're putting two new squawk boxes on two gates. So three of the gates will be able to be entered via their squawk box on their vehicle, plus every one of their response vehicles will have a physical card in it. And then basically the next steps is we are working with Advantech tomorrow to put the rest of the clearance codes in for the rest of the gates. And within the next 2 weeks, we're gonna start with the remainder gates on this side of the facility. And on the far side, those gates will be done by the end of May. So everything's coming together pretty good. Patty may want to provide an update if you haven't gotten a credential yet, but the project is on its way and it's going to be complete by the end of May is the projected timeline.
I don't know. I think probably everyone in here has gotten one of these forms in the mail that has to access the airport. If you have not, I can give you one here. If you've gotten one and not filled it out, get that back to me. The one thing I failed to put on here, I need to update this form, is what reason you have to be on the airport, that you would need to have access to the gates. But if you've already gotten one, that's fine. And I have added in anyone that's on Aviation Avenue, Larry's crew, and our T-hanger crew. So we've got people, and the FBO, the guys are able to test. So we just would like to test that gate so that we can try to get all the bugs worked out before we move on to the next one, the gates that are more heavily used.
Are there any bugs right now?
Not right now. Everything's working well.
Don't jinx it.
As of today.
You took the words.
You just did it.
As of a couple of hours ago. Right. So.
So as of today.
On the gate. As of today. I will say one warning. If you download the app, do not delete the app once you download it. That was one of the problems we had as far as with there's three folks involved. There's the control side, there's the new TrailWatch software, but there's the HID credential, which is a third party. So we had some bugs with the HID credential with third party, but that's all been taken care of.
Let's say if somebody upgrades their phone, get a new phone.
It's not a problem. It will go straight across. It will go straight across. It's basically deleting the app before you completely register is the problem that causes a 72-hour hold. We learned that over the last 3 days. That's been our biggest hurdle so far.
In terms of the security of gates, has there been any consideration, does county have any plan to secure the van gate to the left of the building and the doors to the ramp ever?
That man gate is actually on the project to be secured.
The one to the left?
Yes.
How about the doors from inside out?
Not the main doors, but the doors on the computer room, like the electrical room. The system has been sized so that we can put additional card access points on that as a secondary project.
Are you talking about in and out of the FBO?
In and out of the main doors to the ramp. Yeah, like most facilities, like after hours, stuff's closed. If you want in, you go to a side gate. You know that it's that code to go to through the side gate is usually CTAF. So you punch it in. There's a sign on the inside that tells you what the code is when you're walking out. But right now, anyone can go in and out pretty much at any time. And like we're in an FBO group with World Fuel, and so. There's a significant uptick in like vandalism and theft. So, but not here yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're not seeing any issues or
issues. Sure. Yeah.
All right.
No.
All right. Well, I think what Ron was saying is that we have the ability to expand and add to the system.
That was taken into consideration when we spec'd out the system that we would have enough inputs to add additional card access.
Is it under camera surveillance? I know that we've been through the FBL. What about the gate?
The gates actually have video intercoms, so that if you would hit the button for the A phone, you would be able to see who's
but
actually.
It's unsecured. It's unsecured right now.
The doors.
I'm sorry. The personnel gate. The personnel gate does have a camera on it.
Yeah, there's a personnel gate that's that doesn't have a lock on it, and obviously the doors from inside to the outside, I guess, so.
Yeah, that is the standard of practice across the country, is to have that gate, just except what he was describing there. You seem to have is access where the general public can't go walking out on the ramp.
Yeah, and then after hours.
Only the pilots are going to really know that CTAC frequency is the, the punch.
Or squawk 1200, or squawk VFR.
Yeah, when you're walking out, the sign tells you what, if it's a familiar code, it's either CTAF or emergency or something, or VFR. And so when you're coming back, if it's after hours, you can punch it in, you can get to the ramp.
It's usually a very, because you're going to have people that aren't familiar with the airport, it's usually just a punch in the 4-digit or 5-digit code, and it's just one of those typical locks you see at Lowe's or a little bit different. They just punch in that code because of being in aviation, they understand what the hint tells them which one it is.
I always make a point of taking a snapshot of the sign on my way out because I know there ain't going to be nobody around when I come back.
We're one of the only facilities I've ever been that doesn't have security going from the main building up to the ramp as well. I think it is kind of crazy.
Well, I mean, that's something we can table, and we will table and discuss what the options are. I mean, I think it's the ship sailed on this project, right? Because it's pretty much done, but we have the ability to expand. So I think it's important.
The thought process of this was considered when we started this project.
Yeah, right.
For sure.
But the problem is that you're going to have people that are not from this airport want to get out to the airplane at 2 a.m. or whatever time. So they're going to have some general aviation type hint, squawk, VFR.
Yeah, typically, typically there's not a maglock or anything like that on the gate access. It's a press button.
4 or 5 digit.
Works a doorknob on the gate that gets you in.
Can I suggest that you as the airport manager look at that as a priority item before we wind up having somebody's airplane vandalized or theft or something? I'm renting my place, for instance. I got 8 constant run video cameras down there. 8 cameras for surveillance, but we got people that can come and go as they please out onto the ramp by just walking through the terminal building.
Jeff, I think you were asking about whether there was an active security camera at that location.
Like if it's covered by a camera, at least.
And Ron, do you know the answer to that?
If we're talking about the side gate on.
No, the back entrance from. That's what you're talking about, the terminal building onto
You got 2 points that we were discussing here. One is that side gate.
Right.
Which is probably where I would think that you're going to have people coming in and going out.
After hours. Yes.
After hours when,
We have video surveillance on the side gate in the gazebo, yes.
Is that going to be a mechanical lock or is it another mag lock?
That's going to be a mag lock.
Yeah. Well, video surveillance is nice for the investigators investigating the theft that's already occurred or the vandalism that's already occurred. It'd be a lot better to prevent it by having security on the gate.
In hindsight, that would have been an opportunity to eliminate that as a mag lock, save a few bucks, because it's probably, to this point, that's the gate that if we eventually do secure the rest of the field, that is where after hours people will be going in and out. So then at that point, the mag lock would have to be removed. Right, and go to a mechanical type lock. So it could be an opportunity for savings on the contract.
It can't be that expensive to have just a punch code lock added to that door and a sign on the inside, which is, like you said, you find that everywhere.
I looked at it when I was here several years ago, and it was $400 or $500.
I'm getting ready to do all the hangers.
So we'll look at it. Larry, I'm not the airport manager, but I've got it down as an item that we'll look at. Rick, I was going to say, I'm guessing we must have assessed this previously, and there was a decision why we didn't do it, but it doesn't sound like it's a big lift.
I got prices and gave the information to the airport manager, who has since left, and it just wasn't followed up
on. All right. That's all I need to hear.
As long as I've been here and this issue, we've talked about this issue, it's just how do you credential the person to be able to access?
Yeah, but what we're talking about though is not credentialing. Let's say on the weekend somebody comes in here to the beach, they arrive at 9 o'clock in the evening, they fly in the evening, they walk off the ramp to get their car that maybe they left here or somebody's picking them up. now they want to leave at 6 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday morning. How do they get back onto the ramp? Right now they just walk on ahead themselves, or anybody in the town can walk on ahead themselves. The pilot, though, on the way out, like Brian just mentioned, takes a picture of the code. He knows the common thing is to use the common traffic advisory frequency, 123.0. So most air pilots, first thing they're going to try is 12300, door opens fine. If they don't know that, they can punch in 1200, which is squawk VFR. And one of those two codes is going to get that gate, and they can get back to their airplane. But now you got security. Right now, you don't have any security. Okay? And Dustin, like you said, I agree with you. I fly all over this country. It's the only airport I've ever seen where you don't have something like that.
Yeah.
You know, even airports that don't even have an FBO, much more than just a little shack, will have security at the gate getting on and off the ramp.
I mean, we have random people walking around all the time, and most of the time it's harmless. They're just wanting to look at planes on the inside, like looking at hangars. But
I've seen that myself. So, yeah.
I mean, you're going to have people that don't intend to come here. Ocean City can be shut down for IFR reasons. They divert and come here unexpectedly, and then they land here. They got to get a rental car. They got to get a way out of here. They got to have, and if there's a lock on there that for the ID and the system you have, they're not going to be knowledgeable what to go in and out, how to get on the or
plus
back to their airplane.
Push button that raises the attention of somebody back at the security center.
So I mean, if as an unknown person, you still got to know that push button. Or if there's a sign on there, like we were talking about, everybody pretty much has a sign on the facing the airport side. So when you walk out, you have an idea. Hey, dummy, to get back in, get to my airplane, I'm going to have to remember this code.
Well, it says after hours gate, and for after hours, here's the code.
But a non-aviation person isn't going to know the CTAF or VFR squawk.
Okay, good enough. I got it down. We'll look into it for sure. Anything else?
Ron, do you have anything else?
No, I'm good, thank you.
Okay. Any other questions from the public or from the Committee on Bonds? All right. So we'll move on to public comments. Do we have any comments or questions from the public?
I'm not public, but there's something I just need to bring up just so that everybody's aware. Y'all may have saw last week we were doing a lot of flying, a lot of taxiing back and forth up and down, and sometimes we had a cameraman on the back of a golf cart following the airplane back and forth. Starting last week, we started filming a documentary for Chinese national television. They're doing a six-part documentary. The China government is doing a six-part documentary on the 80th anniversary of the end of World War II. And one of the significant events in China with the Doolittle Tokyo Raid in April 1942. And I'm the business manager for Doolittle Tokyo Raiders Association and an honorary raider, so, and an owner of B-25. So they came here for us to start doing some filming for this. And that's what we were doing last week, back and forth with the film crew. And then on May 17th, I go to China and we'll be visiting all the raider sites in China. This will be broadcast around the world. It'll be a six-part documentary this September with the 80th anniversary of the end of World War II. So it'll be a little bit of publicity for Delaware Coastal Airport.
Cool. That's interesting. Yeah.
And on Monday, we had the great honor of doing a flyover for Ernest Marvel's internment, or his funeral. I don't know who Ernest Marvel was. He was a 100-year-old World War II combat veteran, highly decorated, Purple Heart, Bronze Stars, etc. Crawled through a minefield to get radios to a group of Americans who were trapped during the battle during Ardennes. One of 8 out of 28 that assaulted a German village and came under tank fire and survived it. Here's this guy, still carries shrapnel in his arms from wounds. He just died, and we did a flyover for him last Monday. So Jeff Corman joined us, and we did that flyover, and we've done a number of those kind of flyovers, all based on, you know, the airport here. So remember the one we did up in, Seaford a year or so ago. So we do those kind of things, and they're always free for the veterans.
Hmm.
Nice.
Good. Thanks for bringing that up, Larry. That's good stuff.
All right. If we have nothing from the public and nothing further from anybody else.
Just a question. My name is Jesse. I'm a local FAA mechanics examiner. I also
work done here. I know it's not necessarily in the master plan for increasing quantities of T-hangers on the airport. I know there was issues with the environmental impact study for the last ones that were built. But as an airport community, if we're going to continue to exist in the future, right, we have to invest in that future and get more people and pilots into aviation is what we need to do. So I think, you know, we as a community, we need to start planning for that, right? And so just bringing it up at the meetings continuously, just getting notice out there that, yes, there is interest in general aviation in the area.
Well, there is in long-term master plan, long-term site plan, for more hangar expansion. Whether that be county-funded or whether it be a group come together and approach the county to lease the land.
Yeah, the way we've approached that and the way we approached it with our latest T-hanger is there was a significant demand on paper for the latest one that we built. And again, we did our due diligence to make sure that the demand was real and it was going to be there once we built and opened it up. And it was. We were able to fill it up. And on our latest master plan, there are two more 10-unit nested T-hangers that are sited, meaning they have a location, they have a home or a place. We don't have anything programmed right now, at least in our budget, to move forward with the next one, but we do have a space for it, and as the demand continues to increase, which we'll monitor, maybe it's 2 years, 3 years, I don't know what it would be, but we are keeping our pulse on the demand for that type of...
And what's the metric for demand? Is it just a wait list?
Well, that's basically what it is. I mean, it's a wait list. We get phone calls, we get inquiries, and we keep our pulse on that demand. And so if we hear about it, then, you know, we'll move forward.
And there's a financial element to it as well, because it's being paid for by general fund taxpayer dollars. So our finance director wants to make sure she gets her return on investment.
Right.
So the last round, there were numbers that were tossed out that if you signed on the dotted line, no commitment, but at least a strong interest, there was going to be folks willing to pay a certain rate, which is a very significant increase compared to some other T-hangers. So
Right. There's
that balance of pushing guys out that can't afford that level of
That's part of it, because the existing T-hangers are one price point. The newer T-hangers that went in were vastly inflated, or not inflated, but increased price point. And I know they have to pay for themselves, but at the same time, it is a tough nut to crack. But again, getting people into aviation is going to protect the airport, and it's going to, you know, keep the interest and keep the investment into the thing we're all here for.
In all honesty, there are other ways to build hangars. It's a whole lot less expensive than the option that the county used to build those hangars. Sliding doors are not that bad. I have three T-hangers at Cambridge. Two of them have sliding doors, and they're on rollers. One hand, they just slide to the side, and the cost is a small fraction of what it is to build these hangars. The hangar is lower, you don't have the cost. The door is a majority part of the cost of building a building. Y'all heard me preach this on more than one occasion. I know you're tired of hearing it, but there's no reason to build the Taj Mahal and price a lot of people out. T-hangers can be built for a whole lot less money and be just as safe, meet all the fire codes, the NFP fire codes, all that can be met with a far less expensive building option. Okay. And one thing that many airports do, St. Mary's County Airport is a classic example of this. You're familiar with St. Mary's, right? The county's never built any T-hangers over there. They've all been built by private investment. Those are the pilots there at the airport, get together, lease the land, they build the hangars. 20 years, then the hangars were reverted to the county. And if I'll just challenge you, go to Google Earth and take a look at St. Mary's County Airport and look at how many hangars are over there right now. It is like a small city over there right now. And the reason they've done it is because it was private investment, and they built them, let's say they built them to meet the standards, but within the price range that people can afford. Okay, so it's out there. There's ways to build a lot more hangars without charging somebody $1,000, the kind of prices we're getting right now for these hangers. Y'all heard me preach that before. Mm-hmm. These bifold doors are extremely expensive. They're not dependable. They're prone to breakage. There's a lot of other ways to build hangars a whole lot less expensive.
We would welcome private investment in the airport if anyone would like to invest in T-hangers.
I'm just curious, what's the payback that you're looking for on the T-hangers?
I think it was 10?
I believe it was 15.
15
was the number.
We went trying 12, but it was 15.
Okay. Right. So have you discussed extending that period a little further to make it a little more affordable?
We did.
Tenants, I should say.
We did, and that's, I mean, we had looked at several financial scenarios, and that was the one that we landed on, just from a maintenance standpoint and a recapture standpoint. And I will say, Larry, thanks for the input. We did have a lot of discussions on that, and we'll have them in the future. I know there's a trade-off between efficiency of space and number of units gained within the square footage of built.
Which is the same thing with sliding doors as you can with bifold doors.
Which gets us into this discussion of sliders versus bifolds, and I know we went over that a few times. When we get to the point of looking at and embarking on our third one, I mean, we'll open up the dialogue again and look at the options again and, you know, make sure we're doing it in a fiscally responsible way.
I know just the short time that I've been at the airport, there have been numerous calls. I can probably say 10 calls over the past 2 years of private people calling saying they want a T-hanger, they can't, there's no T-hanger. Well, I'm going to build one. Bob gives them all the specs, gives them all the information, and we never hear from them again. So there's not the people out there. I mean, once they've realized they've got to deal with the FAA and all of the red tape, then we just never hear from them again. But we do get the calls, but it's
really the rates right now. You can't make the numbers work. So,
and that's what we've run into with several. Bob has definitely emailed everything to the people that are inquiring.
$700 seems to get like a 12 to 15 year kind of what you guys experience and payback. So.
When we built those two hangars down there, the hangar you have now and my hangar, you see the kind of door we went with. Two reasons. Number one, it was dramatically less expensive than a bifold door. And the entire cost of building the hangar was a lot less because you could build the hangar 2 foot lower, which made it structurally less steel. Use a bifold door, the whole hangar had to be 2 foot higher to accommodate the opening that was required within the land lease. So there's all kinds of reasons. There's all kinds of ways to build these hangars much more economical to be able to draw people to the airport and have them, you know, based here. But every time I raise this whole issue about the way these hangars are being built, everything's just blown off and ignored. The decisions are made before it was ever discussed with anybody. Why have an advisory committee if you're not going to ask for advice? Okay? All those decisions on how those hangars were built was made and set in stone before any of us ever knew anything about it.
One other thing, and being the more seasoned individuals, Larry and myself, I think we're probably the oldest ones that have been here the longest, is we used to always have conversations about, you know, as Todd mentioned, the rate of return, you know, and how long is it going to take to get the payback. But if you look at an airport, you got to look also and put into the economic factor that it does for the entire region. And I don't know that, you know, we price ourselves out, and the biggest complaint that I get being on the advisory board is from people that say, there is no way I'm going to sell my airplane. I'm getting out of aviation because of the cost of the hangars. Mm-hmm. And that right there is the biggest complaint. Everybody loves the airport, appreciates what's being done, but they're like, I can't afford it.
That's the biggest complaint I get to.
Yeah.
I mean, it's $800 a month.
Well, from the county owned and built perspective, has there been a financial survey that what does one general aviation owner, you know, bring in as far as revenue? Because it's not only hangar rent for the airport, but it's local maintenance, it's part sales, it's fuels, it's another person that might choose to come and move to the this county instead of another county.
I don't think it's been that granular. We are embarking on an economic impact study that's broader in scale that's associated with our runway extension initiative at some point in the near future, but again, it doesn't, I don't think it gets down to that level. It's more larger-based, job-based, job creation-based, job loss-based.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking employer, of jobs, I mean, if two or three airplanes is enough for a full-time job for a maintenance person on an airport. So if we want to look at it from the lens of jobs, you put in 20 more, 30 more T-hangers, right? Now, instead of one maintenance FBO or one maintenance FBO can hire four, five, six people.
Yeah, understood. Yep. Cool. And again, that study that I was referring to, it may be proposed to account for certain job creation based on aircraft. I just, like I said, I don't know how granular it's proposed to get. I don't know if it goes to that level, but that's something we can certainly check on.
Is that a study that's done here? Or is that a study done by the county? Or do you bring in a third party to do that study?
This particular study I'm referring to is we would bring a third party in that is a subject matter expert in this type of analysis to perform it for the county.
There's a lot of economic impact data available from Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. There's a lot of data about the impact on the economy, those kind of things. Jesse, you know that. Brian, you're the AOPA representative.
Yep.
You know, maybe some of that kind of information you can gather and just share it with us.
Yep.
Mike Genter, we have to share some of that information.
One of the interesting surveys that's pretty, I think, easy to do. Just look at the average age of who's renting T-hangers and has aircraft here or interacts with the airport consistently. Look at the average age. That average age, I think, from my experience, is definitely going up. You know, so you're not having the young people coming in to bring the business and keep the average age, because if you see the average age going up, everybody gets medicals. Not everybody gets a return on their medical.
Just a conversation you and I had.
So I mean, it's that's an easy survey. I think is, you know, what just taking a survey of the people that are part of this airport continuously, and if it's going up from 58 to 60, 62, you're going to start losing. If you're not having the participation of the younger pilots, which goes back to what we had conversations for many years about trying to get the, you know, the instruction on site and everything, and that's worked out real good, I think.
We just had a 21-year-old sign a lease for one of the T-hangers, so there's that.
When I grow up, I want to be like him.
He was 16 when he went on the list, he said, and he just 16, signed.
16, wow.
16 wow. Years old. His dad and
is it daddy's money or is it his money?
I don't know.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. We're getting paid.
Yeah.
21. He just turned 21 and got the T-hanger.
I got two boys and I can tell you it's daddy's money.
He used to apply for me as a pilot certificate before he had his driver's license.
Wow.
That's cool.
All right. Anything else, anybody?
Rick, I'd like to introduce Andrew Harton.
Sure.
He now works in the economic development office here at the county. He joined us about 5 weeks ago, so you'll be seeing him around.
Welcome, Andrew.
Thank you. Welcome to our conversation.
Good to be here.
I'm happy to learn a lot about it.
Right.
It's a good meeting.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I'm happy to learn a lot about aviation here.
This is the place.
Just to give you an idea of some of the rents in competing airports. Two of the T-hangers I have at Cambridge are traditional metal T-hangers, concrete floors, sliding doors. They're $200 a month. Price just went up. The other one's got bifold doors, a little bit bigger than a standard T-hanger. I pay $224 a month for it with a bifold door.
That's pretty average.
Yeah, that's about average. But I pay $450 for a bifold door here, T-hanger. And what's the price over in the new T-hangers?
$800.
So $800 versus the same hanger over Cambridge, $200.
Well,
But Protective White Plains the same hangers.
What's
that? White Plains the same hangers, 2100. So, like,
yeah, yeah. We're not
I'm
White
saying,
Plains.
I know, I'm just saying,
I mean,
it is
we
the
can't compare
areas.
Ourselves to highly densely populated areas, so that's not a good comparison to make.
Yeah.
Right. Understand that.
Yeah, it's all over the place. I mean, Rutland, Vermont's getting one up there. It cost me $2,000 for a small hanger.
All right, do you have anything else for anybody?
Mark, good job filling in.
Yeah,
yes. Mark.
Thank you, Mark.
Thanks for everybody's participation.
Next meeting.
Next meeting date,
right?
Next time you got to wear fancy boots, Mark.
don't forget the kids.
Not going to do it.
We're rolling it for next month.
Your own record now is promising us a kid.
That's right. Todd better on at 10 next time. Blame him.
So the next meeting date's looking like September. It's the next quarter. And it's, of course, at the end of the quarter, but we always have the meeting prior to Wings and Wheels.
Yeah.
So that is September the 24th.
Okay.
That is the Wednesday before Wings and Wheels, the following week. Does that work?
Works for me right now.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Larry, you okay with it being that close to Wings and Wheels? Or could you, I mean, Wings and Wheels going to be... And granted, by that point,
it's actually.
You'd be amazed how many people they ask me, when's Wings and Wheels? I'll say, first Saturday in October.
What's
the date? First Saturday in October.
Back to my question. Is that okay with you? Because
yeah.
If you're trying to bring in the
That's
Wings
fine.
And Wheels.
We're going to be meeting on a regular basis. We've already had, you know, some of our initial planning meetings.
Bob Spurlow's meetings.
We're getting into a pretty good rut. We've got a real good pass down book from year to year. So.
So
I don't think it should be a problem.
So there's the answer.
Bob's going to be Bob's part of the meeting. Bob's going to be there. So he's going to be kept fully appraised of what's going on.
Yep.
Bob can then pass on to the county any concerns that we're
good.
Yep. We'll be involved as well. Absolutely.
All right.
Sounds
I have a motion to adjourn. So moved. Second?
Yep.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. I'm not going to ask for a post.
Thanks, Greg.